So yeah, so we are so excited about today. And I think you stepped on both of our toes with things that you were going to say. I knew giving him the microphone first risked that you would cover things that I was supposed to cover. But, you know, one of the things we really want to talk about Pentecost Sunday and the Holy Spirit is what does that even mean? And when you look at and you read in the Old Testament, you see that generations were told from the generations before them about the good things that God had done. And so we just thought, what an appropriate Sunday to have generations before us a little bit speak to those things. You know, I am a huge fan of remote start. I had a car with remote start, and when we got rid of the remote start car, I was so bummed because I love, especially in the winter, to have remote start. I got my own new car, and I loved it. And for a little bit, Samantha was using the car, and one day she was at lunch with a friend, and her friend had remote start, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, I wish my mom's car had remote start." And she says, "It does." And she's like, "What do you mean it does?" She's like, "That button right there is for remote start." And Sam was like, "No way." So Sam is in the Culver's parking lot and clicks it or does whatever her friend tells her. And guess what? My car has remote start. I've been driving it for 2 years. I had no clue that there was remote start on there. There was just all of these buttons that, you know, was like, and I had tried. I remember because I'm, you know, like, how does the panic work? I tried all of the buttons. And I remember trying that button. And I was like, I guess that button does absolutely nothing. Well, it was the most valuable piece for me in my car. It was the remote start button. So I Googled how to actually, because there's like, you know, a sequence of what you're supposed to do. And I love it now because in the winter, and I'm here, I get to remote start it. Or I remote start it with the garage, of course, open. I remote start it, and I'm so happy. But I say all that to say, because that's I feel like when we're talking about Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, it's like that. We can have this rhythm of like, oh, I accept God, I you know, or accept Jesus in my heart, I go to church, I do this, I do that. And we kind of use all the right buttons. And then you're just like, oh, but there's so much more. And that's what Pentecost Sunday, that's what the Holy Spirit is all about. And so we are just so excited to have our panel today. So we're going to start off with a little teaching with Pastor Larry. Pastor Larry, you can come on up. If you don't know Pastor Larry, he is probably one of the most intelligent men that I know. I say that, no pressure, Larry. No, he doesn't feel any pressure with that, do you? Nope. But he is a professor at UW. And I don't. He tries. He graciously tries to explain to me what he does. But he does a lot of science stuff. But he is right? It's science.
It's science.
It's science. But Pastor Larry is just so knowledgeable in everything from evolution. You love talking about creation. You love talking about the things that Jesus has done in your life. And what I love about Pastor Larry is he is so knowledgeable about a lot of things and yet super gracious, as you can see by even his interaction. You are one of the smartest people that I know. I can brag on Pastor Larry all the time because you're one of my favorite people. I love listening to you. I love the things that the Lord shares through you. So he's going to share a little bit about that, and then he'll invite our panel up, and then we'll navigate through some questions. There you go.
Thank you. Thank you, Susie. Well, let me say quickly that there are a bunch of intellectual idiots that I deal with every day, and I hope that I'm not that bad of an idiot, totally. But I'd like to start with Pentecost Sunday and tell you all, happy birthday! You are now 1,992 years old as a church. Our church was formed 1,992 years ago. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about. The church is still operating today. There's no question about it. And you'll hear from the four of us that'll be up here how God has worked, partly how he's worked. And so we'll be sharing that. Just as a little background to Pentecost, when Jesus was still here on earth, in John chapter 14 and chapter 16, he gave reasons that he would give the Holy Spirit, and he promised that he would give the Holy Spirit to the church. And what are the reasons, a major reason that he said, is that he, the Holy Spirit, is going to guide us into all truth, and he, the Holy Spirit, would glorify Jesus. So don't be a dual theist Christian church. You are a Trinity church. Remember, the Holy Spirit is there to lift up Jesus, to give Jesus glory. And that's what it's all about. He is there to help us give glory to God. Not and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So truly, that's what Pentecost is all about, to give glory to God. So some of the things that happened, by the way, what I just said includes all of you. You are responsible for the church. You are the church. Keep that in mind. Too often we think, well, yeah, I just go there. And it, you know, it's more than that. You are the church. So what do we see the Father doing through the Holy Spirit? It's interesting how Jesus said that he was going to give this. He's going to ask the Father, and the Father would send the Holy Spirit to us. Then he said, and this is before, just before he was resurrected in Acts. By the way, Acts, many times in your Bible it says Acts of the Apostles. It's really Acts of the Holy Spirit with the apostles and others. Because Ananias, for example, was he an apostle? He prayed for Paul. Well, you can, maybe he is. If that case, you're all apostles. Okay? So this is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, before he ascended, he said in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, being assembled together with him, he commanded them, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise, which he said, you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he's telling all of his apostles and people that were sitting there before he's ascended, don't leave Jerusalem. Stay here. He didn't tell them how long. He was teaching them for 40 days. On the 40th day, he ascended. It took 10 more days. And the 10th day is the day of Pentecost, and that's when the Holy Spirit came. So I can imagine, you know, how many of us are sitting in church and, well, I guess I got to be here. You know, do you want to stay for the 10 days to receive what's promised, or are you just going to leave? You know, that's a very important point for us to realize that they stuck in there. They continued on. So he said, you will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then he said in verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and unto the end of the earth. Power. Now, this is, you know, too many people seek the power. Well, what's the power for? To be a witness? To live the Christian life. You know, for us to live the Christian life, we need the Holy Spirit. That's the whole thing that's behind it. And for us to be a witness, to be a true witness and reach out to people to understand who Jesus is all about, what he's all about, who he is, all through the Holy Spirit. Then in Acts 2, and thank you, Jay, but I'll repeat a little of it. On the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to him divided tongues as a fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit language. And Jay went on and read, so where does this happen? All people outside, they were in Jerusalem, they heard this. What's all this noise? Hey, I hear my language, but there's other languages going on here. And so they're all confused. Why are they speaking all these different languages? And then Peter, of course, stood up under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and he started preaching. And away he went. And what happened? He said, this is the sign that was given, and he quoted Joel. And then he goes on to, I guess you read, 38 and 39, Acts 2, 38 and 39. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, Let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord your God will call. Are you called by Jesus? It's for you. Straightforward. Peter said it. They received it. 3,000 people came to the Lord and came into the church that day, plus the 120 that were in the upper room. That's the start. And then daily, they kept adding because the Holy Spirit was moving in tremendous ways. So the Lord is for you, church. This is what it's all about. So how is the Holy Spirit operating today? Well, we have a panel of four that will talk about the various witnesses that they've had through the Holy Spirit, what's happened in their lives. And so I'm going to call them up. We're going to rearrange things a little bit up here to get the chairs down. But I'm going to call them up. Tom and Karen Bruce and my wife, Veda, to come forward.
Thank you, Larry. Give you guys this microphone to share.
Oh, thank you.
All right, well, as he announced, this is Tom and Karen, Larry and Veda. Tom serves on our church council. This is his wife, Karen, and she has served us. Oops. Sorry, turn that off. So Tom serves on our church council. Karen is his wife. She has served in our church in multiple capacities, leading prayer teams, prayer classes, and is passionate about the move of the Holy Spirit and what that adds and activates in our life. Not that you guys are not, but I would say that's one of the things that I admire most about Karen. And then we have Yeah, and she's very stylish, but that's a different conversation. And then we have Larry and Veda. Veda is also a part of our prayer team, and they are like original members, correct, of Chapel Valley. Well, before it was Chapel Valley, they are like the OG members of the church. I don't know, they probably, if you would say, like poured concrete with their hands type of, you know, original members, maybe not necessarily, but they are just some amazing people. We trust them. We trust their growth and their relationship with Jesus. They nurture that. They invest in that. They are still growing today and would all say that none of them have stopped growing and continue to experience the Lord in mighty ways. So we're going to start with that. And we're going to just start with some questions, and you guys can answer them as you feel, you know, need. You don't all have to. You can. But the first question is, how has the Holy Spirit contributed to your personal growth in your life?
I wanted to share how I grew up as a Christian in a Christian home that...
Fix it a little bit there, Veda.
Okay. From the word go, you know, it's like my parents brought me to church when I was a baby. I grew up praying every night, loving the Lord, and I really committed my life to the Lord to serve him. And when I was about 13, I had gotten a new badminton set. I lost my badminton bird, and I felt like this was a tragedy. And I looked all over my dad's raspberry patch, which is about 10 foot by 20. It was in the weeds someplace. I went through, got scratched up, had no way to know how to find it. But because I went to church, I had heard all about this kid who prayed and the Lord helped him find his money. So I prayed and the Lord gave me a vision. It was the first time I ever got a vision. And it was like he highlighted a piece of the weeds, and he just kind of like shone a light, not a real light, but a vision light of where it was. So I walked over there, brushed aside the weeds, and there it was. And I thought, wow, God does a miracle. I got my miracle of a lifetime. Like if it, kind of thinking there was only one maybe. And so, I mean, I was just so amazed. And all that was without the baptism with the Holy Spirit. I didn't even know there was a baptism with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is in you from the time that you become a Christian. But it's not the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I didn't know there was more. So when I was 29, I heard about the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and I asked the Lord for it, not because I wanted power, but because I thought it'd be fun to speak in tongues. Not a very religious reason, but it was fun. And I did receive power, even though that wasn't why I was asking for it. And God poured out so much on me. It was like my whole spiritual life was just kind of a slow uphill climb, but that was like boom. And it was like I fell totally in love with the Lord at a much deeper level than I thought I could. And the first thing he did was speak to me and tell me to pray for my neighbors. Now, I'd never thought to pray for my neighbors. And I prayed for them, and actually three of them got saved. One got filled with the Holy Spirit. I started to be very active in our church, and a lot of kids got saved. And probably by the time we left Seattle, where we were living at the time, there was a good 30 at least kids and people who had come to the Lord as a result of that, all within the first 4 years of doing that. So it's like the Lord just increases what you can do, increases your power.
Well, for me, when I was 13 years old is when I accepted the Lord. Now, before that, we didn't go to church. My mother decided that, hey, it's time you go to church because you got to go through confirmation class. We were Lutheran at the time. So I went through confirmation class and learned everything that the Lord said and guided us through them. And along comes Monday, Thursday. Now, for you that don't know that, that's a Thursday before Good Friday. And this is why, especially the Passover meal and so on, he's very special for me. But anyway, so what do? We're going to take communion for the first time. They told us exactly what to do. You go up, you take the bread, take the wine, well, the grape juice, and you go back by your pew, you kneel down, and you pray. Trouble is, they didn't tell me what to pray about. And so I'm kneeling there, and I'm thinking, well, what should I pray about? And I thought, well, what did I just do? I took the body of Jesus, I took his blood, and as for my salvation, this is great. Thank you, Lord. And I literally felt his arms around me. That's when I accepted the Lord. Now, I didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit was working, just as Veda said. And really then, so we got married. There's a whole bunch of stuff in between there, but we got married, and our first job was out in Seattle. We went out to Seattle. We had no church, no place to go. And so Veda went off to go to church, find us a church. And I decided I was going to stay home and paint my house because it needed painting. Just a sidelight. The year after, I had to repaint it. That's what happens when you don't go to church. No. So anyway, I'm sitting there painting the church. I hear the church bells ringing, and it's like, oh, man, I want to worship God. I felt like empty, but my heart was crying to him. And so I tried to sing good old religious songs. The church is one foundation. I didn't know that. Couldn't sing that. Tried to sing other songs. Went through a bunch of them. Could not remember a song. So I just decided, I'm going to just start singing. I opened my mouth, and out comes these words. I was singing in tongues, and I felt so close to God. I felt so warm. It was great. God answered my prayer to be next to him. That's how I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know what I had till 6 months later after Veda got it. And, well, that's another long story I won't go into. But God was there, and that's how I received. Every day when I would go to work, I sang in tongues all the way there, all the way back. And just when I got home, I said, hi, dear, how's it going? You know, like nothing's happened. But I was having a great time with God. That was my introduction to the Holy Spirit.
Okay, well, for me, I thought I'd just talk a moment about what it was like before having the Holy Spirit and or before being baptized, and then afterwards. And I'll just point out, as Veda sounded like she had a really good introduction to the Lord as a child, I went to church my whole life. We were in a very liberal congregation. We did lots of fun civic things, very active in youth group and all of that, but never taught to receive Jesus, never expected that there was anything personal that I should be getting. And so by the end of high school, I just want to say, especially to the young people, you're so blessed if you're able to leave high school knowing you have a relationship with the Lord. Because I left high school going, I'm going to find something, because we have that spirit in us, right? Something wants something. And I wanted something with some spiritual truth, some power, something deep. And so that's also not a safe way to go off to college, right? I'm looking for something, and the enemy's like, I can help you find something. And I got into reincarnation and New Age, and I thought I would be at a higher power if I can see through buildings, and finished school, got a teaching job in Milwaukee. We got married. And a couple years later, we had our first child, and then I'm subbing and home a lot. And I looked good on the outside, but on the inside, I had left so much stuff in me that I was full of anxiety, full of fear all the time, dark, dark, horrible thoughts. And I was putting on daytime TV, because now I'm there, and the 700 Club comes on. And I thought, oh, it's Christian. I've done Christian. That's boring. But they had all these miracles. They had angelic visitations. They had rescues. They had healings. They had prophecies. They had all that stuff I thought I had to go somewhere else for. So in November of 1983, I bowed my knee. I said, I got it wrong. I want you. And I received Jesus. And a great burden lifted off my shoulders. Most of that anxiety went away. And I enjoyed my Christian life. I liked reading the Bible. I had some necessary kind of like changes in my attitudes. That was good. And I felt leadings and nudgings from the Lord. All of that, I loved it. But the program also talked about getting filled with the Spirit. They'd say, once you receive Jesus, get filled with the Spirit. And I thought, I knew that the things they were doing, some of the things they were doing was because they were using the gifts of the Spirit that was connected being filled with the Spirit, but I really was enjoying my current Christian walk, and so I told God so brilliantly, you know, if you want me to have it someday, that's fine, whatever, you know, whatever you say, and I just went on. I went on for 12 years like that, pretty much happy. My only kind of weakest area would be where the boys were concerned. If they got sick, I got pretty wound up about it, and a sniffle would be pneumonia, and oh, he has a neck pain, let's get him checked for meningitis, and Tom's job was to go, he's fine, don't worry about it. So did all of that. Now fast forward 12 years to November of 1995. We have a business, we have three sons, I'm doing the billing and stuff for the business, not much subbing. And I go into the spare bedroom that was an office because I wanted to talk to God about Tom, because he needed to change Tom in some ways. You know how you do that? And so I went into this spare bedroom, laid across the bed. It's whatever it was, 2 a.m, I don't know. And I started my request. And that changed so fast. All of a sudden, the room got kind of bright. And I felt these waves of, I want to say electricity, because it was sort of electric, but not in a scary way. It was like waves of electric love, just shoom, head to toe and head to toe. And I quickly switched from thinking of what I was complaining about. I just started saying, thank you, thank you. And the more I said thank you, the more intense it got. And the more intense it got, the more I said thank you, till I actually got to a point where I was kind of going, oh, I think I better stop. And maybe I shouldn't have said that, but I did, and everything just dissipated. And it was like the room just had this wonderful atmosphere. I don't know how long I stayed in that bed, but I remember thinking, oh, I guess God wanted me to get baptized with the Holy Spirit. I knew what it was. And so now that's November of 1995, and 1 month later, God knowing what's ahead of us, we find out that our middle son, Matt, who's 12, at the time, and had been sick all through September, October, November, vomiting, headaches, things like that. Well, they said it was a nasty virus because we took them in a few times, but then there was swelling behind the eyes, and they thought, uh-oh, something's going on in the brain. We're on the fast track. We're getting MRIs. We're in the hospital. He's got a brain tumor. It's at the top of his spinal column. It's near the brain stem. It's in a not good place. And we're in the hospital. We're going through. He's going through all these tests. We're in and out of the rooms. There was a couple moments there where I was in the room by myself. Matt was out having a test. And I heard God like I never heard God before. I had nudges before and inklings, and those were wonderful. But I heard God say, it's going to be okay. I thought, oh, thank you, thank you. And so not only that, but we had all these meetings pre-surgery with doctors. Then we had the long surgery. Then we had a lot of hospital time for recovery. During that whole time, as the doctors were telling us, well, you know, we couldn't get all of it, and there's no way to go back to it surgically. This looks like one possibility, but that'll hurt the brain. Anyways, we were hearing just a lot of stuff. And I had this, I knew it. I said, I feel like I have an invisible shield. Just an invisible shield. I heard the words, I wasn't in denial, but they bounced off, and I just thought, no, God said it's okay. It bounced off, bounced off. We were walking down the hospital hallway one time after a not pleasant little visit with the surgeon, and I looked at Tom, and he had a tear. It was on this side, and he had a tear running down his cheek, and I said, don't worry, it's going to be fine. And he looked at me like, who are you? You know, he was just like, what happened? And so we went through the whole hospital time. I had that shield. Matt got dismissed after a while. And he was kind of in a safe place now because the tumor was much smaller. It wasn't blocking spinal fluid anymore. And he went back to school half-time and then full-time. And on my part of the thing, though, my problem was that I started hearing all those negative things the doctor said about Matt's future. Instead of bouncing off a shield, I was getting them, you know, coming to mind, and they were penetrating. And I told the Lord, I said, I want my shield back. What happened to my shield? And he said very clearly, study my word. Well, I literally picked up my Bible and I said, I love reading the Bible. I don't know where. What am I supposed to do with that? And then I felt led to go to a bookshelf, and I pulled out a little booklet that I didn't even know I had, but as soon as I pulled it out, I felt like he said, that's the one, and it's God's Prescription for Divine Health by Gloria Copeland, and you can see it's been well-used and well-loved, and I thought, okay, we have the business. I can do my billing whenever I want, and he said, study, by the way. I just want to emphasize, he said, study, not just kind of like read a few healing scriptures and go, oh, that's nice, and move on. No, study. And one thing that it really helped me with, and he knows where all of us are at, it talked about how when we get a prescription from the doctor, right, we get antibiotics, and you know that in 2 or 3 days I'll be feeling better. You take the antibiotics. You don't expect in 5 minutes to be feeling better or even the next day so much. Something's going on, working inside, you know that. It described God's word like that, just like Proverbs 4 does, where it says, attend to my word because they're life to those who find them. They're health to all their flesh, not just spiritual health, but our flesh also. So that helped me because then I'd go through the healing scriptures and I'd read them and I'd study them and I was motivated, of course, and I had like 2 or 3 hours where I would be in it. And it at first, you know, I didn't notice much of a difference, but after, it wasn't real long, after maybe a couple weeks, when those thoughts what the doctor said came, I was able to kind of dismiss them and just remember, God said it's going to be okay. God said by his stripes, Matt's healed. God says he's our healer. And I thought, after a while, another 3 or 4 weeks or so, I remember saying to God, thank you, I have my shield back, and you gave me this shield. It's my shield now. It was like he was a good daddy who said, while she's at the hospital, she's got no prep for this, I'm going to let her experience the gift of faith just for the hospital there. And now I'm not going to tie her shoes anymore. She's old enough to learn how to tie her own. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's the way we're supposed to get faith as maturing Christians. So we have something that we've built in ourselves. We're not crying out to God every time we have a little situation pop up, even a missing retina. Birdie from your, I thought that's cute. But anyways, so my point is that I had inklings before, I had leadings, But now I'm hearing God, you know, speak to me in the hospital room, giving me a gift of faith. Now I'm seeing God operate in a new way, saying, now this is, I'm going to show you, I'm going to make it really clear what I want you to do, and you will get the good results you need. And so my faith just skyrocketed. We'd go to many doctor's appointments, and I'd say, God's taking care of it. And I knew that they thought, poor mom, she's in denial. But, you know, we just stuck with that. We stuck with the things we were supposed to say. And I have to say that when you get filled with the Holy Spirit and start really hearing him closely and doing the stuff he tells you to say, he's always looking way in the future. And down the road a bit, my parents had a couple. They were friends with Joan and John. And John found out that he had stomach cancer and lung cancer. He had two tumors in his stomach and two in his lungs. And the stomach ones were very large, and the smaller in the lungs. And the doctors told him, we got to do surgery, and we're probably going to have to remove your whole stomach. Well, he was obviously devastated. They set the surgery for a couple weeks or so in advance. I said, can I send them this, Mom? Do you think I can send them the booklet with what I discovered? And she said, go ahead. Well, Joan called my mom a week later and said, John's reading that every day. And I thought, I hope so. I hope she's not just being polite. I hope she really means that, because sometimes people take these home and they set them on their little side table and whatever. But another week or so goes past, 10 days, he has the surgery. Joan calls my mom and says, I have to tell you what happened. He had the surgery yesterday. When they went to remove the stomach tumors, both had shrunk so much that they just took the tumors out. He's able to keep his stomach. One of the lung tumors is gone. The other one is shriveled up. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. He's thinking of us now, what we need. He's thinking of people we will encounter, that he wants us to be in a place where we've got something to give them, you know, something. In many ways, we give people something, but that was like, I was so blessed by that. I thought, you saw them ahead of time, you know, and that's what he has for all of us, because he just wants our lives while we're here to be full of adventures with him and purpose. So that's...
I'm going to continue on that just a little bit about Matthew. One night he was working, he had a seizure. They took him to the hospital. The doctors wanted to do MRIs and the x-rays and stuff like that. I went with him. And he said no. Doctor calls us. We said yes, do it. Even though he's of age, we told him we want you to have it done. They did the MRIs and they found nothing. The tumor was completely gone. So just so you know, Matthew was completely healed of that. Now, talking about healing, I'll tell you my story. June 3rd, 2018, I had what the doctors told me was a massive heart attack. Actually, I was having it at home. Told Karen I wasn't feeling well, blah, blah, should we go to the hospital? No, waited about 45 minutes. Yeah, I think maybe we should go. She said, we want to go to a clinic? I said, no, let's go to the hospital. So he drove me down to St. Mary's, dropped me off. I walk in, told him what my situation was. He said, just have a seat. We'll get you an echocardiogram or EKG, that's what it was. And Karen had not come in yet. And I went in, had it done, came back out. She comes in. She says, what did they say? Oh, I just did an EKG. They're going to let me know. Okay, so she says, well, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Goes to the bathroom. The guy comes around the corner with a wheelchair about 90 miles an hour and grabs me. Says, you got to go. Takes me in the back, and the doctors and nurses and all that are all waiting for me. And the doctor says, you're having a massive heart attack right now. She comes out. I'm not there. She's got to find me. So they brought her in. Doctor told her the same thing. But the one thing that I want to tell you about this is that I had total peace during this whole thing. Now, there are a lot of people that will have a heart attack and go a little crazy. They get very, very nervous. But I was at total peace because I knew the Holy Spirit was just there with me, taking care of me, taking me through this whole thing. We did not know how bad this heart attack was until the next day. They had taken me upstairs to have some work done, some stents put in, and arteries checked and things like that. Well, the next day they told us that I had one artery that was 100% blocked, one that was 90% blocked, one that was 86% blocked. And then another one where they had to put two stents in. So that took care of that. That same day, I was told that I was a diabetic. My A1C was 12.9, which is a little high. Normally, it's 5.5 is an average. So I was up there. But anyways, you know, the doctor, he came in. He says, I was looking really good and stuff like that. He says, we're going to make an appointment for a surgeon with you. And he'll talk to you and stuff. And he said, it was 3 weeks later that we saw him. But in the meantime, I'm doing cardiotherapy. So I go 3 times a week down to this gym at the church, at the hospital. And they hook you all up with, you know, little pads and stuff. And you can get to watch the monitors. But there's about 25 other people in there also. So I see all these other monitors. They're all going, oh, yeah, really nice. And they see mine. Just a little bitty bump here and bump there. So I went through that. We went and saw the surgeon. And the surgeon comes in with a very serious look on his face. And he said, sorry, Mr. Bruce, but your heart is 80 to 85% dead muscle. We can't do any surgery for you. We want you to continue with the therapy. And we'll check on that later on. So he also told us that I had a 40% chance of having another heart attack that year, and if I had that, obviously I wouldn't be here. But we went home, and we prayed and stood on Mark 11:24, where it says, you know, if you pray and believe what you're praying for, you will have. And we believed that my heart was healed. We ended up going to Andrew Womack's ministry out in Colorado. He has a week-long healing conference. And I remember going out there, waiting for our room. We were going for a walk, and I was having a hard time breathing, basically because of the altitude and stuff, yeah, and the lack of oxygen. But also, my heart just wasn't working as hard as it should. So anyways, we were there all week. I went up right away for the first day for prayer. Lady did a great job. It was really, really good. And, you know, we just kept going. So the fourth night I went up, I said, I got to go up to Andrew and have him pray for me. So I went up and talked to Andrew. He prayed for me. That night, when the conference was over, they had buses to take us back to the parking lot because the parking lots were quite a ways away. And I said, let's just walk. So we walked, and you know, Karen held my hand. She says, my hand's much warmer, felt much warmer than normal. I had no problems breathing. We were at a fast pace getting back to the car. Went back, got back home, called the doctor, had another echocardiogram done, and he came in while I was having that done, and he looked at it, and he says, I don't believe what I'm seeing. My heart was restored, as he said. So I ended up having bypass surgery to take care of the arteries. And, you know, everything turned out well. It was only a 3-hour surgery. He said it'd be 5 to 6 hours. Everything went well. So I had to go through, therapy again for another 18 visits. And it was amazing to me how many people there are so nervous about their condition. And I did not have that problem. I was at a total peace. One guy just came to me and he said, how can you be so calm? He said, well, I said, God's watching over me. I got the Holy Spirit in me. He says, what? You know, I tried to explain it to him, but he didn't understand. But anyways, everything turned out great. My heart was good. And then February came along of 2019, had a few problems, went to the doctor, had a colonoscopy, was told that I had colon cancer. Karen doesn't remember this. But he came in to tell me that you have stage 4 colon cancer. And she didn't even hear that. She was probably just praying like she always does, which is good. but I said, okay, so what do we do next? He set me up with a surgeon. Surgeon got into surgery and stuff like that, had it removed. Had 18 inches of my colon removed. And then they said that it wasn't stage 4, it ended up being stage 2. So thank you, Lord, for that. And then, you know, I was told I was diabetic. And when the diabetic doctor came in, he got a name about that long. I don't don't know how to pronounce it, but she said that, you know, well, you're going to be on insulin the rest of your life. And I said, that's not going to happen. She says, oh, yes, it will. Okay, 5 minutes later, I was off insulin. 5 months, excuse me, 5 months. I'm sorry. Did I say 5 years? Okay. I'm sorry, 5 months. So I was off the insulin. I got off everything else. I only had one other medication that I was on. And then we had an incident in March of 2020. We call it an incident. And this is, God called it an incident. And I'll tell you how he confirmed that, too. So anyways, I had what was called a spinal column stroke. I had some neck pain. I was just driving along. All of a sudden, this neck pain just hit me. And it's like, oh, wow, what did I do? I happened to be looking back for traffic. And I had the pain, so I thought maybe I pulled a muscle or something. Got out of the car, walked around, stretched a little bit. Got home, told Karen about it. And, you know, about 45 minutes later, I said, I'm having a problem. I'm seeing, like, a kaleidoscope in my eyes. And it's like, it would come and go, come and go. So she called 911. They came, got me, and says, yeah, he's having a stroke. So took me to the hospital, sitting in the room for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 hours with them. And they said, oh, it's just a pinched nerve. So Karen came and got me, and that was the first that was the first day they wouldn't let anybody in the hospital. So yeah, COVID. So she wasn't happy. But she came and picked me up. We got home. By the time I got home, I couldn't move my right arm, my right leg. So she took me right back, called them, says we're coming back in the situation. So they took me in. But again, I was at total peace with that. I knew the Holy Spirit was with me. I knew it was going to be taken care of. And a week later, I was out of the hospital. They don't know how the tumor happened. I mean, excuse me, the blood clot happened. But they said it hit, took off, and just went back into my body. So it was absorbed back into my body. But it did the damage, and but now it's, you know, as you can see, I'm walking. I couldn't walk there for a while. But by the time, 3 days afterwards, I was off the walker and just walking on my own. So the Lord has definitely been with me through this whole time. So God does heal, and he heals through the Holy Spirit.
Praise God. Since we're talking about healing, I just wanted to share what the Lord did for me, a heart problem as well. And, you know, it's terrible knowing some of this stuff. You lay on the table and they're doing the intravenous thing, looking at your heart. And I knew he came out too fast. So I knew something was wrong. He said, you're scheduled for a triple bypass tomorrow morning. And so I prayed that night and figured, wow, hey, my dad had a heart problem. And it was significant for him. The Holy Spirit took him up to heaven, and actually he saw Jesus, and Jesus said, nope, it's not time for you yet, go back down. And he kept sharing with me. That's where I knew for sure. Every time I had breakfast with him, he'd tell me all about the same thing. And I thought, wow, I'm going to get to see Jesus. And so go on the table, and people were praying for me. I asked them to pray for me. They prayed for me for head to toe. And after I came out of it, it's like, I didn't see Jesus. And I was really disappointed. You know, why didn't I see you? And the Lord said to me, you didn't need to. My dad did. I didn't need to. So I recovered very quickly. As a matter of fact, they were amazed at how quickly I recovered. I was out of the hospital very quickly. And when I got home, I was looking at the TV. You know, I was just sitting in a chair, and I said, Veda, I can see. My eyes were healed. Now, not totally. I still need them for glasses for the distance. So, Kip, back there, you're a little fuzzy. But anyway, well, then I had cataract surgery, so that changed things. Anyway, my eyes were healed, and I didn't need glasses. My prescription was changed. I went into the eye doctor because I needed new glasses, I thought. And he said, nah, you don't need these glasses. You just need them for distance. And that's what he gave me. And I asked him, you know, is there some reason for this? I just had, you know, bypass surgery. He said, no natural reason. This is a miracle. And when you have a physician say it's a miracle, it's a miracle. God worked. So
I want to tell you about our trip to Israel. And we had gone there, and there was a real miracle healing. I was there about 2 days, and on all these archaic steps and walks and stuff, I sprained my ankle really bad, and it never hurt so bad. And this is a 10-day trip, and on about day two, to have your ankle ruined so you can't hardly walk in the most severe pain, I was really like, Larry, pray for my ankle. And so he prayed, and it hurt just as much. And then I start walking, and each step I take, I could feel it getting healed. It got less pain and less pain, and I'm marveling at that as I walk. And by the time I had about 15 steps in, it was totally healed. And the next stop we had was a dry riverbed. And you just don't even walk on grass after about a month of having a sprained ankle without it hurting. But here I am, right away, walking on all sorts of rocks, and it didn't hurt at all. My leg was normal. My ankle was normal. And the rest of the trip, I'm climbing all their rocks and hills and keeping up in the front of the crowd and everything. And then we testified over what our trip had been like, and about 300 people got a chance to hear about that miracle with the group that had been there with me. So God knows how to have a testimony work, how to create miracles, and I just love the way he works. And even like in our church, we had had little small groups, two or three, just pray together in the congregation. And in that group, one person said to me, the Lord has told me that he wants to heal your acid reflux. Well, I had had acid reflux for about 6 months to a year, and it was really bothering me. And I was really happy to get the prayer, but I hadn't asked for it. The Lord simply said it. And so it disappeared within about 2 days, and I've never had it since, and that was way over 10 years ago.
Yeah. I just want to say, because I know we've been talking about healing, that was an example of a word of knowledge that somebody had. So there's a lot more with the Holy Spirit than, I mean, healing is, it's just we're all faced with stuff all the time. So it is a big deal, but you know, he'll warn us about things coming. He'll, you know, it's so important. Larry mentioned and read the scripture where Jesus said he'll guide you. He'll guide you and show you where to go and stuff. And in the message, it actually says he'll take you by the hand and guide you. And I was listening to a teaching by a Greek scholar who said that word guide had multiple meanings, as it often does. And in the world that Jesus lived, ancient Greek, or the ancient Greek that was used, the biblical Greek, that guide also meant a tour guide. Mm-hmm. And I love that description, because don't we sometimes want to rely on a tour guide? They say, don't go here, that's not worth the time, or it's a little dangerous. Definitely go here. This is the way you want to go. This is the best deal. This is the most fun. I mean, he wants to guide every part of our life. He wants to help us in every area that we need help in, to warn us. I was warned to pray over our car when we were driving home, and I did, and then some deer walked across, and we didn't hit them. They stayed right in the middle, and we're like walking in place. He does the most wonderful things, and we can't know those things, and it's a wonderful life when we're saved, but he wants to bump it up. So that would, I just want to make sure we know he's got lots of ways of helping us.
Yeah, as I mentioned, so we have a few questions, and I'm like looking at the time. I'm like, I think I sent the email. We'll be lucky if we get through one of these questions, because as Karen was saying, and as you're hearing, there's just, it's so vast, really. And that's really where, when we, I should have maybe said this from the beginning, for those who maybe don't know, like, we believe the Bible front to back. We may not be able to, like, explain everything. We may not, like, maybe have the full understanding to comprehend, or some things just feel a little uncomfortable that we still have to, you know, feel like it kind of pushes up against maybe your values or your thoughts or your processes. But here at Chapel Valley, we believe that God's word is true and alive for today. There are some places that will say, oh, well, that's just, like, it's just wisdom. like, oh, it's just good works. It's just, you know, that was for that time. But we believe that when we're reading scripture, that while there's completely a cultural understanding that you can have either with words or understanding what Jesus was navigating through, while that is all true, that we also can hold that the word of God is absolutely true and for today. And so I was going to just say, just so we can be respectful of people's time, if there was one thing, oh my goodness, I'm trying to figure out how to reword this question. But if there was one thing, because the question is, what spiritual practice or disciplines have helped you remain sensitive to the leading and the movement of the Holy Spirit in your life? And as Karen was just talking about, when we really begin to slow down and listen and not just chalk it up to chance and luck and like, oh, no, there are so many of you who are probably to go back, find stories of maybe your grandparents, your grandmother's grandmother who's been praying for generations to come, that it's more than just chance or luck or just like because we're lucky. But really that the Holy Spirit is always moving and speaking. So with that being said, if there was one thing that you would want to say, what spiritual practice or discipline has helped you remain sensitive in the leading the movement of the Holy Spirit, or would you tell, what would you tell someone here to say, hey, to continue to remain sensitive or begin to understand this to the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit, what would it be? What spiritual practice? Does that kind of make sense? Okay.
So I would say one of the important things is that you pray in tongues. I pray in tongues during the day, just at the drop of a hat, so to speak. Consistently, and the idea is to be listening to the Lord. The Lord will show you what's going to happen, what's going to go on. He showed me how to do this with people, the leading them to the Lord, drop what my agenda is, but do what they want, and that kind of thing. I prayed for a person who received healing in her eyes. She could see a clock across the room before she couldn't. I prayed for a Jewish woman. I had a whole Bible study prepared, dropped it, talked to her about her things. Listen to the Lord. What is the Lord saying?
I was going to say the same thing. Just listen to God. I mean, I like to work on my cars every once in a while, replace a water pump or something like that. And you always get to the one bolt you can't get to, and you can't get it out. So I was telling Karen one day, I said, I can't get that one bolt out. She said, well, why don't you pray? Oh, that's a good idea. So I prayed. I was out by the car, and I was praying to God, and all of a sudden, hey, do this. The bolt comes out. You know, so like Larry says, it's just ask the Lord for the help. He'll give it to you. So it's simple as that.
And for me, it's like a discipline. It's like I used to take about an hour with the Lord when I was working, but now I take almost the whole morning just to pray, read the Word, follow a reading plan for the Word, write down things in journal. It's just like the time you spend with Him is never wasted. It just bears fruit. But even the listening to Him, like with fasting, this is something I don't do because somebody says, do it. I do it because the Lord says, do it. And when He has told me to, I'm a diabetic, and the way I fast, He's told me I should not drink any coffee or fun stuff, only water, not have any sweets, and only eat food that I dislike. And you find all the junk that you have put aside that is junk to you. It's in your cupboards, freezer. You never use it. You never look at it because you hate it. Well, He said, eat the food you hate. So, I mean, it can go on a fast like that for like months, and it has. And then in the midst of that, great miracles can happen. Like I fasted for a missionary's daughter who was going to marry an unsaved person of another religion. And that missionary's daughter I didn't know. I knew the missionary barely, and he just asked me to pray, and the Lord said, pray and fast. So I fasted at least 4 months, and that woman ended up coming back to the Lord, leaving the man she was going to marry, getting involved to learn how to be a missionary, coming back to the country that she knew the language of, and marrying a Christian man and becoming a church wife. She's the wife of a pastor there now. So, I mean, it was worthwhile fasting. The Lord knows what he calls you to.
Well, yeah, with Larry, the praying in tongues, for me, it's the first thing I do in the morning after I just get a couple little things done. Not much, first thing I do in the morning, and it makes my Bible reading so much more, I guess maybe because you're, you know, it's building you up. The Bible tells us that it builds us up, and so then I do Bible reading after that, but that praying in tongues before the Bible reading for me is just a good way of building myself up every day. And if I can only pick one, you know, it's kind of tough, but always praying in tongues. And I don't know how people feel about that, because I know I've know a lot of people who have said that was the hindrance to them for getting filled with the Holy Spirit. They thought, that's weird, you know, what is that, praying in tongues? That just sounds weird, and we heard weird things about it. And I have a close friend who grew up in a church where the pastor said it's of the devil. That denomination, I don't think, felt that way, but that was his. And so when it came time for her to receive the Holy Spirit, she was interested. We were in a group that was doing that, but that held her back, and she finally did say, I see it in the Bible, I'm going to get past that. But, you know, if that does bother anyone, because I know it has, ask the Lord, look at how it works in the Bible. You're praying, and your spirit is praying things that your mind doesn't know to pray, because we're limited. We don't know what to pray for. The Bible tells us we don't know what to pray for. And I can tell you, for that friend, she's so glad she did it. She now is, I could call her my dream friend. She has dreams that has saved her brother, brought him to salvation, known that this person's going to do. She gets dreams that she wouldn't probably have had. That's the way the Spirit works in her. But that happened after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, after she got past the fear of or the confusion about praying in tongues. It's a spirit language. It's not to be afraid of. So just in case that's bothering anyone, I wanted to say that.
Yeah. Well, the other thing in just everything that everyone's brought up is we live in a very highly spiritual culture. Right? Like, I think any of us, and we all have different things that we've become comfortable with. And what I find interesting is the things of God, the things of church have become something, this thing where we either shy back from or we don't know how to explain. And there's other crazy things. I'm like, how did we land here? And yet we're stuck on, you know, a gift that it says in scripture that's been given to us. And so I just think that this is, we want to continue to have these conversations, and you don't know this yet, but we're going to figure out just how to continue this conversation through recording to just kind of get it out there, because I think we need to continue to have the conversation. It's not a one and done. We all find ourselves in different places as we're all listening. We're all hearing through different filters of maybe what you're experiencing, what you're walking through, what you've been told. And the goal isn't to necessarily have all of the answers. It's to continue to have the conversation so we can grow in our relationship with Jesus. And then as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, then we begin to have a greater understanding of who he is, how he's created us. And as you can hear, like, it's all of the same but different. We hear how he you know, meets us in the middle of a raspberry patch, and he loves us so much that he cares about the little batten mitten thingy. I don't know what it's called, right? And that he meets us in the place of just giving us peace or giving us the shield that just in that moment, because he is, at the end of the day, he's our Father, right? He's our Father who gives us these good gifts. The Holy Spirit, it says in scripture that he's our guide, he's our comforter, he's our teacher. And that's really the role and the function of the Holy Spirit when we look at the Trinity, that he's teaching us, that he's guiding us, and he's walking us through these things. And so this is a greater conversation. Because of time, what I'm going to do is I think we're going to have Karen pray for us, but we will also have all four of them available if you have a question. Hey, you said this, would you mind explaining it? We have time. We want to make space for that. If you need prayer, we want to make ourselves available. Just even you're like, hey, I may be doubting some things or this, whatever it is, we want this place to be a place where we grow together, and we're all growing together. Just because there is, you know, we all are growing in our own things, and we just want to continue to make space for that. So Karen, would you pray for us?
Well, Father, first of all, I want to thank you for Pastors Jay and Susie having a realization that you desire to make sure that your wonderful Holy Spirit receives due honor on this day. It is the birth of the church. It's a lot of wonderful things, but I thank you that they took time to do this, that they wanted to have us as those in this church have a chance to focus on you, Holy Spirit, how wonderful you are. You are here with us. You have been left on planet Earth to be our guide, our helper, our instructor. You're full of power and might. You're full of love. You're full of compassion. You are everything that we need in this life. And we don't want to minimize you. That's what I guess I'm grateful for, that this day lifts you up and gives you the honor that you deserve as you help us to know Jesus better, as you help us to walk through this life and to be full of God's plans for us. I pray for each person here that we would have a greater awareness of you. You know how to speak to each of us. Nudge us, speak to us in any ways that you want us to make any kind of little adjustments in how we approach you or how we pray or whatever. I mean, you've given me lots of little adjustments, and they're important. And you know, each of us, as Susie said, we're all different. We're all in different places. So I pray that each person here would be blessed with a fresh awakening of how much you love them, how much you want to work in their lives, the good things you have for them, the good things you have for all of us, the plans you have for us that we don't even know yet. There's much to come, and we don't want to ever get trapped in a thought of that we see it all, we know it all, where there's that we've got done as much as we can do. That is so far from God's plan. And so I pray for your blessing on each person, for your empowering on each of us so that we can be the vessels you need here on planet Earth, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, everyone. We appreciate it. I told you guys, I didn't think we'd get past one question. I did say that. but we love you guys. We would encourage you to stay in fellowship. If you'd like some prayer, they have agreed they will pray for you. Fellowship with one another and have a great week. And we will see you next week. Oh, we have prayer. Oh, what do we have this week? Oh, Laundry Love is this Wednesday. That's right. So there will be no prayer and worship. Yes. And what? Oh, yes. Thank you, guys. Yeah, give them a round of applause. All right. Well, we love you guys, and we'll see you soon.